The people crying, looking on, a man would think it a tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree, that it would break the chains of sin's captivity.
Thank you, Mrs. Garner. That was a blessing. That's one of my very favorite special music songs. My. Open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. Ezekiel, chapter 22. Please forgive me for not getting around and shaking hands. I'm not trying to be unsociable. I'm really thinking of you. Wednesday night at camp in the night, I had a little attack of a stomach virus, and it's still been attacking up through yesterday. I think it's over with. I'm just weak now, but I prefer not to take chances and shake your hands and let you take home something from me. I'd rather you take home the message. So forgive me for not getting around and shaking hands. Having found your place in Ezekiel 22, would you stand, please? And I want to bring a very simple message, a message that is a challenge to fathers. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. That word abomination means, from God's point of view, things that God hates with an extreme hatred. They are beyond just dislike, but extreme hatred. And then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come and make idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in the blood that thou hast shed. Thou hast defiled thyself in thine idols, which thou hast made. Thou hast caused the days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen, and a mocking to all countries. Sounds like the USA instead of Jerusalem, doesn't it? Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one were in thee to their power to shed blood. They were like their fathers. They took after their daddies. In thee have they set light by father and mother. Father and mother had such little influence and little testimony. Their children were as wicked as they were. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widows. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. Shows their lawlessness. We just seen their godlessness, now their lawlessness, and their now then, in verse 10, their moral degradation. In thee have all they discovered their father's nakedness. When the Bible talks about the father's nakedness, he's talking about his relationship with his wife. And it's speaking here of son-mother incestual relationships. In thee have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood, paid assassins. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord. Look over in verse 30. And among all of this, God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. God said, I'm looking for one man that's standing for me, that's doing right, that's living a godly life, a biblical life. If I could find that one man, I wouldn't destroy this city. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I sought for a man. I want to speak this morning on the subject. Will the real man for God stand up? Will the real daddy that loves God stand up and be counted today? Will the real Christian man that not only talks it but walks it stand up today? On this Father's Day, I want to challenge the daddies and the men and the young men concerning the importance of our relationship in our family, in our church, in our nation. God is still looking for a man, a man that'll stand in the gap. It's talking about the wall around the city. The wall of protection has been broken down by the enemy. There's a gap there. There's an opening there. And God's looking for a man that'll stand up and make up the hedge, close up the gap, stand for God when the enemy is coming in on all sides, when there seems to be no hope and no protection for families and marriage and biblical truths. Is there not a man today that'll stand up and say, God, you can count on me? If you could save a city with one man here in the Bible, if you can use me, here am I. I'm going to stand up. But may I say to you, you can't stand up on your terms. If you're going to stand up for God, you can't negotiate with God. You've got to stand up on biblical terms. You've got to stand up according to the will of God. You've got to stand up loving what He loves and despising what He despises. He's looking for a man. A man that'll save his marriage. A man that'll save his home. A man that'll stand up and make up the difference in the church where walls have been let down and broken down. I pray that in Trinity Baptist Church and in your family that God won't shake His head and say, I didn't find one. I pray that there'll be men in this church. There'll be men after God's heart. Men who want to please Him. Men who want to do right. Men who want to honor Him and glorify Him with their life. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. God, would you use the message to challenge the heart of every father, every grandfather, every man, every young man, married or not, we might determine in our heart that we're going to be men who will stand up for God. And I need your help this morning. Fill me with thy spirit. Use me for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This week at youth camp, I had two of our teenage girls, two of our senior teenage girls come to me and say, Brother Smith, we want to tell you that we love you and we love our church and we love our God and we want you to know that we're going to stand up to try to make a difference in our generation. That's wonderful, but I wonder where the young men were. I wonder where the young men were that has heart, a heart for God. Not just a heart for pleasure or a heart for money or a heart for career, but a heart for God. God had spoken to His prophet Ezekiel and told him to speak to the people of Israel and specifically to the city of Jerusalem. On many occasions, God had warned the people who called Him their God. He had warned them about their wickedness. But they ignored God's warnings and ignored the preacher, and they continued in their unspeakable abominations against each other and against God. Now, as you read with me these first 12 verses and saw some of the ungodliness and the immorality and the degradation of the people, you think, man, that's awful. But the truth is, that's basically what I hear from week to week as people come in with broken hearts and burdened and wayward children. The problems I deal with in today's society is much like what's recorded here in this passage of Scripture. We just go ahead and ignore God's word and God's warning, thinking we're different. And we can play with sin and it not bother us, but we can't. Sin is stronger than you are. It'll destroy you. You cannot conquer it in your own power and your own energy. Government was no longer their protector. Leaders in government were filled with greed and evil. Sounds like our government today, doesn't it? Religion had been corrupted by the wicked lives of priests and prophets. The people had made themselves idols to worship. There was not one man among the people who would stand up for God. The times of Ezekiel's day could be described by three words. First of all, lawlessness. Their action was so wicked that they were called by God an abomination to Him. Verse 2, verse 3, verse 7, verse 12. God is saying, I hate what you're doing with an extreme hatred, a hate that's beyond the normal. It's so wicked, so evil. They were lawless. And then the second word is shameless. Verse 10 through 11, they were so hardened by sin and wickedness that they no longer blushed at sin. Fleshly lust ruled their lives. There was no sense of honor or moral righteousness. They shamelessly entered into their immorality with their fathers and their neighbors and their family members. They were all used to satisfy their sexual desires. They were lawless, shameless, and godless. Verse 3 and verse 12 lets us know that. Though they claimed to be the people of God, they had forgotten Him and had no time in their plans or their family for God. When they did get religion, they made themselves idols and took on the religions of the pagans instead of the religion of the Bible. Because of their wickedness and sin, God was about to judge them. And here's of how He was about to judge them. He was about to have a foreign army that He raised up to come in and attack them and take them as captives in a strange land. If they lived the assault, they would be slaves in a strange land. Now you listen to me and you listen carefully. Pull your head out of the sand and think for just a moment in the time and age in which we live. If we are not careful, if we don't get God back on our side and in our lives and in our churches and in our homes and marriages, in our government, I would not be surprised in my lifetime or yours to have a city in America bombed with a nuclear bomb, or some terrorist with a dirty bomb set it off a satchel bomb in a city, and though it doesn't destroy the city, it pollutes the city with radiation and kills thousands and thousands and thousands. If you think God's going to ignore a country that started out with Him and for Him, if you think He's going to ignore our direction and our lack of sincerity and our ungodliness today, you better wake up. I mean, we're listening today about North Korea and about Iran and Iraq and all of these cell groups everywhere. And guess who all are focusing on? Two particular countries, Israel and America. Israel and America. There's a lot of reasons we need God. One of the reasons we need God is for our protection. Our government's not going to protect us anymore. I mean, I talked to a young lady this week that just got back from Washington, D.C., and she'd been serving there in Washington, D.C., and she said, everything is politically correct in Washington. I said, no, ma'am, it's not. Everything is politically correct except the politics. And the politics is based on greed and selfish indiscretions and selfish desires and so forth. God is an outlaw in our country. He's been made so by the people in charge. The amazing thing about all of this was that God was still looking for a way to forgive them. He was looking for a way to save them. He was looking for one real man of faith and conviction in that city. One man could have saved the city from God's wrath and God's judgment, but the Bible says none could be found. God wasn't looking for an army. He wasn't looking for a dozen good men. He was looking for one man that was willing to stand up and be used of God to make the difference. But he could find not even one. You know, we're approaching that. We beg for people to work in various ministries and we find none. And to be a bus driver and we find none. Don't want to get involved. Want my afternoons. Want my time. Oh yes, it's the Lord's day, but I want to take it. The story of Ezekiel's day is the story of our country. We're a lawless nation. Dope, murder, robbery, lawlessness, drive-by shootings, shoplifting, immorality, on and on and on. This is our country! We're a shameless people. We no longer blush at sin. Oh, the ungodliness in our nation, the immorality in our nation, the pornography in our nation. The sodomy in our nation. We don't care. As long as it doesn't affect me and my family. But my dear friend, it is affecting you and your family. It is. More people are living together without marriage than are getting married today. First time in our history. It's the story of America. We're a lawless nation, a shameless people. We're becoming more and more a godless people. America's more and more moving to the realm of the pagan instead of the God-fearing. I believe God's still looking for a real man. I believe He's not looking for us for pseudo-manhood. But a real man. Not machoism, but a real man. A real man of character. A real man that's not lazy. A real man that's not selfish. A man of real faith and conviction in Almighty God and His precious Word. A man who's determined to do right if the stars fall from heaven. I don't know if one man could save our nation or save our city, but I'm absolutely certain one man right with God could save his marriage or save his home or save his children. And I ask you today, will a real man stand up today for God? Will you stand up and be counted? I want you to consider our text today in light of just three major thoughts. Number one, God's still searching for a man to stand in the gap. The walls of protection have been broken down. He's still looking for godly dads and moms. He's still looking for a godly place of learning. He's still looking for a godly place of worship. He still looks for God in government. It's government that separated government and God. It was not God. The walls have been broken down in our homes. Most of our children don't even have a daddy at home. Our schools have gone to the world and God's not welcome in our public places of learning. Schools that started out as Christian schools and places of higher learning for God's program are today atheistic and secular and paganistic. Churches that used to be on fire, cold and dead and worldly. Devil feels right at home in them. Our government that had its foundation on Bible principles and Christian principles has voted both out. The enemy has entered into our homes and into our schools and into our churches, and he's entered in at will. There's a breach. There's a broken down wall. The gap's getting wider. The wall continues to crumble. At first, it was just enough for the devil to send in one of his spies. But now then armies are entering in. And I ask you today, will the real man stand up for God? Stand up today and make up that hedge. Plug up the hole. Repair the wall. The church can't take the place of a man who does not stand for God. How can a church take the place of a man in a marriage? I'm talking about a man with a heart for God. How can the church take the place of a man, a daddy, in the home that stands for God? How can a church take the place of a man trying to raise his family for God? And oh, my dear friend, the need of real men in our church. It's willing to serve God and love God and give his day back to him. I'm simply asking you, will the real man stand up today? God's still searching for a man to stand for him. He's not looking for a scout director. He's not looking for little league coaches. He's not looking for fishing instructors or golf instructors. But he's looking for a man who is dedicated to God and will stand on the Bible and stand for God. See, building a marriage is a spiritual and godly work. You can't do it correctly without God and the Bible. Building a home and raising a family is a spiritual work and a godly work. And you can't build a good marriage by accident. You need God and you need the Bible. And may I say to you, you can't build good children by accident. You've got to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it takes a man who'll be in that home. That won't forsake his family. That won't give it up for selfish pleasure. But will stand up for God and be the man to lead that God intended him to be. There's no need to talk about strong churches and strong America until men will stand for God in their marriage and in their home and for their family. The church is weak today because marriages are weak and families are weak and children are weak. America's falling into lawlessness and shamelessness and godlessness because there's an absence of real godly men in places of leadership. I don't agree with everything that our president has done by no stretch of the imagination. But I thank God he prays. I thank God he's a man of faith. He believes God. Some of the decisions he's made in our country, I think, are foolish decisions. But at least he's a praying man, and he believes God. Some of you don't even do that. You don't even pray for your marriage, or pray for your children, or pray for your church. Some of you don't even pray for your own home. I'm simply asking the question, will the real man stand up today? You may not save a nation, but you could save your marriage. You could save your family. You could make a difference in your church for God. Will the real man stand up and rebuild those things that's been destroyed? We need men to take their homes and their marriages and rebuild them for God. You've been selfish up to this point. You live for yourself and for your pleasure. But will you not think about your heaven-sent responsibility as a leader for God in your family and home? Will the real man stand up and say, I'm going to rebuild my marriage and my home like it's supposed to be in the Bible? How do you do that? By putting God back in first place in your life. By rebuilding the altar of prayer and devotion. By rediscovering the rod of correction that God has given to us. rebuilding the place for a holy day, a holy book, a holy walk, and a holy place. That's the church. Some of you don't have in your homes a holy day, a day set aside for God, a day to worship Him and remember Him and honor Him and serve Him. Some of you never opened the holy book in your home. You open the newspaper, you open the sporting magazines, you open the TV guide, but you don't open the Bible. And a holy walk, you've mocked that. And guess what? Your children are walking just like you. You've been telling them, now don't do as I do as I say, but they've got better sense than that. They're going to follow your footsteps. They're going to mimic your actions. We've got to rebuild that home by reestablishing that holy day and a holy book and a holy walk. And that there is a holy place, and that's the house of God where God's people meet together to be taught and preached to and challenged to live for God. You know why most families aren't living for God? They've forsaken the book and the house of God. They're doing what comes natural in the flesh. Every man in here needs to give back to his family time and love and leadership. You need to do that by, number one, getting saved and know it. Some of you men have been lost trying to build a Christian home. You're unsaved. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. The truth is your family know it. You need to get saved. You've been lost long enough. You've been on the devil's team long enough. You could be that man that stands up and makes a difference in your home and for your family. You need to get saved. And if you are saved and you live in doubts, you need to get saved the Bible way so you know it. You need to get assurance from the Bible so you know that you know that you know you're saved. And some of you who are saved, if you're ever going to stand up for God and build your home, you need to get right. You've been backslidden long enough. You've been coasting long enough. You've been flirting with the world long enough. You've been shirking your responsibility long enough. You've been living away from God long enough, and it's catching up on you. Payday's coming. It's time that you get right and get back in God's favor and save your family. You can do it by getting saved. You can do it by getting right. You've been backslidden long enough. You can do it by getting into God's will and God's church. You've been out of God's will and out of God's church long enough. Stand up and get back in. You can rebuild your family by accepting God's plan and following it. Believe in God's church and be a part of it. You need God's help. You need His guidance. You need His blessings. You need His protection. I want you to know it is a bad day when you get God upset with you. When God says, I searched for a man, I wanted to save this city, but I found none. God said, that's it. Therefore, I'm going to pour out my indignation upon you. I'll consume you with my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. God said, I'm going to use your own choices and your own foolish decisions back against you. I'm saying to you today, we have the privilege to live in America. We have the privilege to know and serve God. I can't believe that some of you who say you believe in God are choosing to live your life and build your families like pagans in countries that don't even know God. Will the real man stand up? Will the real young man stand up? You young men are just young men in school and just getting out of school. Now it's time to stand up and be counted for God. Now's the time to make a difference. That is, while you have an opportunity to teach your child one more day, you ought to stand up for God and be counted and make a difference. God's still searching for a man. You say, but if my wife, don't blame it on your wife. If you'd be the man, she'd follow. So many times the wife has to take the leadership because you're out more interested in playing golf than building your marriage or raising your children. You're more interested in throwing a baseball or hitting a ball than you are raising your boys and you're raising, teaching your girls. I'm simply saying, will the real man stand up? Somewhere we've got to quit shirking our responsibilities. If we call ourselves a Christian, then for God's sake, stand up for God. And if you're not a Christian, you can become one today and begin to stand. I promise you, there's not one of you in here. If I came to you with a microphone and said, what do you want for your marriage and family? Not one of you would say, I want it destroyed and I want to see my children wrecked and ruined in sin. Not one of you would say, I want to see the wrath of God against me and my family. But oh, foolish people we are. We're trying to have God's blessings by violating God's will and God's word. It doesn't work that way. Humble yourselves. Come back to God. Yield yourselves to God. And we have a God in heaven ready to put out His hand of favor and blessing on our life instead of His hand of judgment. And it's your choice. What your family is and what your family becomes is your choice. You say, but I don't know. I'm doing my best. My children. Hey, Adam and Eve were in the best environment possible. They lost a son. But oh, dear God, if my children go wrong, it's not going to be because I was wrong, that I did wrong and I went wrong. I'm going to stand up for God and I'm going to fight for God and I'm going to stand on this book and I'm going to try to build my marriage. I'm going to do everything I can to strengthen my marriage and strengthen my family. I want God's blessings. I need God's blessings. You say, it's easy for you to say, preacher, your children are all grown. Yes, they are. But I've still got some influence. And I want it to be for God. And I've got grandchildren that's looking to me. And I want to influence them for God and teach them for God and train them for God. I'm asking you, on this Father's Day in America, God's still looking for men who'll stand up. And I ask you, will the real man stand up for God and stand up for your family? Father, that's my message today. Oh, dear God, would you speak to our hearts? We're in such need of leadership in our homes, spiritually.